This is Man-at-Arms, and you are listening to the Masters of Grayskull.
Thank you, Mr. Gary Chalk, as Man-at-Arms from the 2002 He-Man and the Masters of the Universe cartoon series for giving us that promo. I'm, of course, TFG, and Mike joining me is Optimus Solo. Hello, sir.
Hello.
We just want to put this at the beginning of every episode for Masters of Grayskull. We dedicate every single episode of this to the memory of Dean Stephan. Dean, who was the writer, story editor, all that kind of stuff on the 2002 He-Man series, passed away May 15th of 2018. And not only are we doing this because we're finishing our Powers of Grayskull series podcast, we're also, I feel at this point, doing this in the memory of him because the stories that he helped create and build for this series, it revitalized the MOTU franchise, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's unfortunate that we didn't have a chance to ever talk to him for the show, but we can at least remember him as we move forward.
Absolutely. And now, on with the show.
I am Adam, Prince of Eternia, defender of the secrets of Castle Grayskull. This is Cringer, my fearless friend. Fabulous.
Hello, this is Optimus Solo, and welcome to the 110th chapter in our Powers of Grayskull series. With me for this journey into the Masters of the Universe franchise is the loud and obnoxious TFG1 Mike.
How am I being loud and obnoxious?
Just kidding. Are you ready to return to Eternia, sir?
Of course.
All right, well, in this episode of Masters of Grayskull, we will be giving you our thoughts on the next three episodes of the series. That would be Episode 7, Lessons, Episode 8, The Siren Song, and Episode 9, The Ties That Bind.
So, what you're saying is 7, 8, 9.
Ba-dum-bum. So we hope you're ready, because it's time to go back to Eternia.
Lay it again, Triclops.
Who would have thought that jerk into the pest of a jester could take down a wall faster than skeleton?
Amusing. Perhaps I should recruit the jester for my legions of evil. He at least is doing something.
All right, first up today is Episode 7, Lessons. Air date of October 11th, 2002. Written by Larry DiTillio. Plot synopsis. Embarrassed by his mixed-up magical spells, a dejected Orko strays from the royal palace. Meanwhile, Skeletor orders Eva Lyn to steal a powerful artifact known only as the Ramstone.
I should have known this was Larry.
Rammstein. Mike, what did you think of Laird Tilio's first episode here in Masters of Grayskull?
I loved it. I thought it was great. There's a few things with Orko that I could do without, but that's just because I don't like this Orko. It has nothing to do with Larry.
Mm-hmm.
This is the most backstory Eva Lyn has ever gotten.
Yeah, in the series, for sure.
Yeah.
It's interesting because you mentioned it's definitely, and I agree with you, it's a definitely different Orko, different take on him. I mean, yeah, he's still the jester. Yeah, he's still the comedic relief. Yes, he's still the sidekick, etc. Just a little bit different as far as the look and the sound, etc. But we do get a very similar story here to something we got in the Filmation series with an episode, not saying beat for beat or anything like that, but an episode where we're kind of looking a little bit more at Orko and his magic and how it does or doesn't work and what his worth is, etc.
Yep.
So a little bit rehashed, but in a different series and 20 years later, so I mean, we can forgive it for that. Yep. And it's somewhat necessary, I believe. Anything that stood out that you really liked about it?
Like I said, Eva Lyn's continuity, her character development, her growth, the little teasing of the fact that, you know, we actually see her have a family kind of thing. I thought that was cool.
Right.
Anything Skeletor and He-Man do is always awesome. I wish, like, the Sorceress would have gotten the spell ready and we got some sort of window into Tralla.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that would have been a nice little added note, but, you know, it is what it is. I think the thing with this series overall is, especially with this episode, is nothing... It's the subtlety of it all, because it's so subtle with the certain things, like, you know, when Evelyn says something about, oh, I have to get it from a family member or something or other or whatever, I have to whatever it is that she says, you know, and then Orko's dejection of being on Eternian's like, hey, I want to go back to Tralla, but it's all done in a subtle way. It's not just, you know,
it's not forced.
It's not forced, and it's not Orko just like, because we know Tralla and every other world is a different dimension kind of thing, I guess, in this universe. Right. It's not just Orko flying off into space because he got upset because nobody likes him or his magic doesn't work right or whatever. It's not just him, you know, throwing a 9-year-old hissy fit.
Right, right. I do like what they did at the beginning, too. They had some cool flashbacks with Orko. We got to see 11-year-old Prince Adam and things of that nature. Yeah, so that was very cool. Skeletor continues to have some great lines. I highlighted two of them in my notes. One of them was, you show me your magic and I'll show you mine. Mm-hmm. And then the other one that I really, really loved, he's like, oh, darkness, I'm so scared. Like, they were trying to, like, freak him out by basically making all the lights go out. So that was funny. Interesting, even though we've seen an Orko-centric episode, I don't know if we ever saw an episode that isolated basically an Orko and Skeletor showdown. Mm-mm. And that, I find it intriguing.
Yeah,
because you have a comedic relief sidekick character against the biggest, baddest bad guy, but they both have magic. So it was very cool to see those two kind of go back and forth for a little while. I thought that was something that was unique that I'd never seen before. And then, like you mentioned, I just put in my notes, whoa, bombshell, Faceless One is Evelyn's father. Mm-hmm. So that was, I remember that being a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it is one of the things that I had somewhat lost track of. So when I saw it again, I was like, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it just adds so many more elements to Evelyn. And we're going to see that, I think, going forward, that this series wants to delve into that character a lot.
Yeah.
And they give us a lot of levels, a lot of layers, a lot of emotional heft with Evelyn going throughout. So I think that's pretty cool.
Evil draws near.
Hey, wait a minute!
Really, the only thing that I kind of nitpicked about was there was a situation where basically I think the Sorceress is talking to He-Man or Adam at this point. Mm-hmm. I believe it's He-Man. And he says, or she says, you know, Grayskull is in great danger. And so is Orko. And that was the thing that got He-Man's attention. Like, oh, Orko's in trouble? Let me hurry. It just came across very weird how that sequence, like, played out.
I mean, they are friends. I mean, Orko, to us, as the viewer, is just the court jester. He's, you know, at least in my mind, he's not a character that whatever. But it's one of those things where I think that not only is Castle Grayskull in danger, or the Sorceress being in danger, or Manadar. You could insert any name in there.
Right.
It doesn't matter if it's Orko or not. With the way that He-Man is in this series, the way that Adam is in this series, that they're two distinct personalities, but they have the same values, I think he would have gone after it immediately anyway, no matter what Master's name
right.
or
no,
site.
I think that it's fine that he's concerned about Orko. I just was worried as to why he wasn't concerned about Castle Grayskull. Like, they both should have been equal reasons
it's
to be
just
like,
an old crumbling building. It's all right.
Yeah. Some quick trivia for this episode. The Faceless One was released as an action figure in 2011 as part of Mattel's Masters of the Universe Classics toy line.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go own this somewhat side character, guest character in this episode. And then also, and I love these, like I mentioned either the last episode or the one before, I do like the fact that they keep giving these nods to the original series. The flashback in which Orko arrives on Eternia and saves young Adam and Cringer from a swamp is a retelling of the same material from Creatures from the Tar Swamp from 1983.
Yep.
So that was an interesting thing that we got to see there. And there's also some characters that appeared in the Disappearing Act in 1983 that showed up here. So thought that was very cool. What kind of rating are you giving this one?
I'll give it a 4. I gave Power Swords to He-Man, Evelyn, Skeletor, and Orko only because of what he eventually realizes. But I also gave Orko a Havoc Staff because
I'm sorry. His voice is just, it's like nails on a chalkboard.
I don't think we're going to get any interviews with Gabe Kuth anytime soon.
No, sadly not.
I'm also giving this one a 4, so we're in lock on this first episode. I'm starting to worry about humanity. And I also gave Orko a power sword just for kind of doing what he was able to do in this episode and being important and somewhat not, maybe not as bad as he has been in other episodes, but I still don't like him. But nonetheless, I'll give him his one power sword he's going to get this series unless something shocks me. So a good start to today, double fours. So. Yeah. Take a break, we'll come back, and we'll listen to the siren.
So what is it about Grayskull, Man-at-Arms? Why does Skeletor want it so bad?
I suppose it's time you all knew the truth. As you all know, years ago, Skeletor and his evil warriors were driven to the Dark Hemisphere. And now for the part you don't know. The great and wise Council of Elders knew that Skeletor's evil forces would one day return, so they transformed themselves into one. Pure goodness, pure power, a power that has remained hidden inside Grayskull ever since.
Still looks like a pile of stones to me.
Yeah, well, it's a whole lot more. Don't you even listen? I say we all take an oath of loyalty right now to protect the secret of Castle Grayskull. Especially the new guy.
I've already proven my loyalty. I don't have to recite some dumb...
An oath isn't necessary. Everyone here is loyal.
It won't be long before Skeletor attempts another attack. I suggest we return to the kingdom and you all grab some well-deserved rest while you can.
Next up today is episode 8. It's called Siren Song, October 18th, 2002. Written by somebody named William Forrest Claverius, if I said that right. After suffering yet another defeat at the hands of the Masters, the evil warriors retreat back to Snake Mountain, where Evil Lyn suggests turning the heroes against one another. So, we're going to have an episode basically where we're trying to kind of pit the heroes against each other and have some dissent and some traitorous actions. What did you think of this episode?
I didn't think about it until now, but it's essentially Evil-Lyn in a better version of when she starred in the 87 film. Because she's disguised and she's trying to trick people like she did in the 87 film with Julie and, oh, I'm your mother, dearie. No, I'm really not. I'm the, you know, so...
Right.
Using the siren song, I honestly thought it was a nice nod to Homer and the Iliad. I thought that was really cool. It's a Ram Man spotlighted episode, but it makes it look like it's a really bad Ram Man spotlight episode.
I can see that for sure. Yeah, I like that they did a job of, again, revealing to the Masters of the Grayskull's power.
Mm-hmm.
So we've already had Skeletor kind of come to terms with the fact that and figure out that Grayskull is powerful. Now they kind of have a meetup where they kind of they don't give away everything, but they tell some things to the Masters as far as how the power all came from the Council of Elders. It was all combined and it's stored here in the castle. They just leave the He-Man part out, obviously. There was somewhat of a little forced line there from Rand Man, I thought, where he's like, all right, we need to take an oath to protect Grayskull. I'm like, well... I get that that's a thing and that's cool that you need to do that, but it was just like so immediate that I don't know, it felt a little forced. But I do like the idea that they know that the power's there and that they're kind of bonded to protect it. One thing about this storyline, obviously we've seen this many times as far as any cartoon, especially like boys action cartoons, where there is a group or a team of good characters where they're going to try to turn one on each other, you know, where they're going to hatch some type of plot to frame somebody or to do something like that. Like we're going to see it quite a bit when we start talking about some other tunes here in the not too distant future. And I don't mind that when it happens like they did in this episode, because in this series, these Masters, some of them are just becoming acquainted with each other.
Yeah.
So some of them are just learning about each other, just meeting them, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it works in that setting because they're still feeling each other out. They are still trying to figure out if they can, if they like each other, if they trust each other, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. I mean, because the series is already, at this point, at the point of episode 8, the series has already showed us that Buzzoff and the Andrenids were not as well as Stratos and the Avians. Stratos may have already been there, but Buzzoff and the Andrenids were not in the alliance with the palace, with the king, with the other masters. So Buzzoff is just coming in new, and Ramman's been there, I guess, since the beginning. I don't know, but it's one of those things where Buzzoff is the odd man out, even though Ramman's being a jerk because he's being mind-controlled.
Yeah. Well, I think it does, and I guess it also does a good job of subtly having this kind of underlying, I don't know, C story or B story or whatever, where they did have their original group. You know what I mean? You had the people that are at the palace as far as, for all intents and purposes, we can deduce that that is Teela and Man-at-Arms, it's Ram Man, it's Mechanek, and Manny Faces.
Yeah.
For the most part, we have those guys established, and Stratos kind of coming in and out when needed.
Yeah.
So we get introduced to Buzzoff, but and it also does this thing where we'll see today where they're trying to kind of like start in the background. They're not making it a focus of the episode, but in the background, they are reaching out to other groups of people on Eternia. They are trying to build this alliance and to kind of build the numbers up.
Yep.
Absolutely. So I like that.
This was the episode where it was the immobilizer, right?
This one has the just the mind control, right?
I thought it was the immobilizer too, or is that ties?
It might be. I don't pay too much attention to the names of the little thing.
Basically, because Man-at-Arms had made it's not the Skeletor belt. That's the ties that bind.
Right.
But they had made this machine to immobilize things, and you had to activate it, and they couldn't. The evil warriors couldn't activate it, and then Man-at-Arms finally did, and everybody got frozen at close to the end of the episode. I'm like, hey, where's Wheeljack when you really need him? Because I mean, you know, the Transformers came up with the immobilizer first. Not that it's a bad thing or anything. I'm like, hey, wait a second. I know where I've seen this before.
Yeah, for sure. last thing that I liked about this episode, not last thing, but the last thing I wrote down was basically that I like that Evil-Lyn has been capable of tricking everybody, including Skeletor at times. Again, it really shows her power. So, I gave a power sword to Evil-Lyn based on that. I thought she did some in this episode to elevate her status, elevate her kind of her clout amongst the evil warriors. But overall, maybe not quite as high on this episode as I was the last one. Last one just did a little bit more as far as the big reveal with Evil-Lyn's father and some of the flashbacks, etc., and some of the nods to the Filmation episodes. This one, kind of a standard episode, but well executed, so I'm at a 3.5.
Get out of my head. I gave power swords to Ram-Man, He-Man, and Evil-Lyn. I'll always give a power sword to He-Man, most likely, and 3.5. It wasn't as good as episode 7, but it was not a bad episode either. Again,
right.
This series is showing us little things subtly throughout. Again, this is a somewhat, not a poor writing thing, but makes Ram-Man look as if he's in a bad light episode kind of thing. It's still spotlighting him as a character and showing that, sadly, he can be fooled fairly easily, kind of a thing. And yes, I know you or audience are, oh, but it's the Siren Song. Well, yeah, it is the Siren Song too, but it's one of those things where anybody can be fooled with the Siren Song. I mean, it almost worked on He-Man in this very episode.
Yeah.
But the point is, sadly, Ram-Man, because he has his helmet, he's not all the way there upstairs. He's a great loyal friend, but
and they do a good job through the voice acting of conveying that.
So
double 3.5s here, so just down a little bit from the first one. We'll see where we go on the last episode. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and see what this tie is and what it's binding.
Or you could call it Teela's Quest.
Thank you. She needs blood. Lots of it.
Take mine.
No, take mine.
It's not that simple.
I'll fly her wherever you say, and pity anyone who gets in my path.
Bring her. Bring her at once.
All right, last up for today's episode is Episode 9, The Tie That Binds, air date of October 25th, 2002, written by Dean Stephan. This is also of note that this is kind of his first time back in the writer's chair since he did the original pilot. He's been involved, he's been editing, he's been doing stuff and kind of coordinating things, but he kind of had let some other people kind of take over, or basically they were working on it as he was doing the pilot, so now he's back ready to do another episode. This is the first of those. Injured during a battle with the evil warriors and unconscious, Teela is taken to Castle Grayskull by Man-at-Arms and receives a blood transfusion from the sorceress that has some interesting effects. Mike, what did you think about Teela's quest?
Yeah, I, unlike Filmation Teela and how annoying she is, this Teela is a little annoying, but I guarantee you, like, we had a bet going on 7 years ago or whatever it was when we first started this podcast, like, who would be the one person that would get the most Havoc staffs, and obviously for me in the Filmation series, that ended up being Teela, I believe.
Yeah.
Orko is way, like, this Teela I actually like. I like what they're doing with her. Every now and then I kind of get miffed at her for constantly berating Adam, but she doesn't do it so often that it's annoying like the original one did. Giving her this storyline I think is great because, once again, because of this cartoon series, this storyline kind of crossed over into the DC Comics stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There was an issue of one of the... I think it was... it was one of the He-Man... comics recently in the last 4 or 5 years that DC did. A-Das Baron and I did a bunch of reviews on the pullback for that series where we actually flash to the future where it's King He-Man. It's King He-Man and Queen Teela.
Huh.
So, and Teela has her, you know, what she, we don't see it here yet, but what she'll eventually get because she is who she is, the sorceress's daughter and all of that. But this is kind of where it starts. And again, the subtlety of it all.
Yeah. Like
the sorceress saying, hey, we can't tell her everything right now. We will tell her, but if we, you know, if we burden her with too much, it's going to be pretty hard to bear.
Yeah, so obviously, as Mike alludes to, we get two big bombshells in today's episode. Number one, we got who Eva Lynn's father was, and then now we get who Teela's mother is. So it is revealing that Teela is the sorceress' daughter, has no mention of who her father is. Obviously, it is not Man-at-Arms, so I guess we do learn that as well, that Man-at-Arms had it just kind of more of the adopted almost father in this situation. And I think it just adds a lot of emotional stakes for the character. Because now we're going to get the fact that she doesn't know something, but we do, and certain characters in the series know. They can't tell her. There's a destiny mentioned. There's, you know, another purpose mentioned. When will this be revealed? We have lots of questions now, and it adds just a lot of emotional weight to her kind of feeling like she doesn't know something. She doesn't know what it is, but she has a figure of something, because in this episode she gets to become Deanna Troi. she becomes a, you know, able to read minds.
Telepath.
Yeah, and so she's hearing what some of the masters are saying, which obviously adds a wrinkle because we got to keep He-Man or Adam away from her, so she can't figure out that they're the same person. But in the meantime, she can read some of Man-at-Arms and Sorceress's thoughts and stuff, but they kind of are able to shield it a little bit. So it adds some crazy aspects to this episode.
And it's good, and again, I will say that...
What? Where? Oh.
Oh. Hey, how you doing, kid? I brought you these... wonder if I could knock that wall down with my head.
Huh?
We all knew you'd be fine.
This room reminds me of my great sickbed scene in The Countess of Eternia.
Countess of... What? What are you?
She needs rest.
How is she?
Okay. More than okay. I think she read my mind.
Character spotlight each week or each episode or each whatever, when this was running on Cartoon Network, I'll take a character spotlight episode, and if you're going to tell me a decent story, or if you're going to start, especially here, you're going to start this story that I know will continue, because I know we do get an episode later with the sorceress revealing, like, in a flashback of how everything happened. Mm-hmm. So, love this. I love that Skeletor basically tries everything other than throwing the kitchen sink at Grayskull to get into it.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, that whole scene was like, wow.
All right, Mike, how do you rate this one? How did it shake out?
Power swords all around. Thank God Orca wouldn't get one here, because he doesn't get one, but Teela, He-Man, and Skeletor for power swords, and gets a 5. It was great. I loved it. I loved every bit of it.
All right. I'm at a 4. A little up from last episode. I don't quite think it's the perfect episode yet. I'm reserving right to have something that's better than it, I guess. I liked it a lot. I mean, it does have the crazy historical aspects of who Teela's mother is, etc. A little slow at points, and I don't know if I'm huge on watching her hem and haw about what's going on and who's this and all this other stuff, but it, like I said, it does add the emotional weight, so that's why I'm at a 4. I think if it was somebody, a different character besides Teela, maybe it would have got me to a 5.
Not that a different character
would be Sorceress's daughter. That's not really right, possible. But.
Right, but the thing of it is, like, I understand what you're saying, but because it is who it is, and because we have had such a, or I have had such a anti-relationship with the character, giving her this, and honestly, if you didn't know who your family was, let's say mother, father, whatever, let's say you were adopted or whatever, and you didn't know your real family, you would have all those questions.
Oh yeah.
So it wasn't like as
annoying. I'm not saying it's not like that she shouldn't have them. I just, not what I'm looking for in my He-Man episode, maybe, is to deal with a girl that's worried about who her mom and dad are. Not that she is, because she doesn't know what that's the thing yet, but and I don't know, like, for Sorceress, it does change her character a bit. Because up to this point, you know, she's this mythical, powerful being that we're not really sure what her origin is, where she came from, you know, if she's really Eternian or human, you know, necessarily, or something else. So it does kind of maybe take away a little bit of the mystique with her, that we know that she had a daughter, and has a connection, which means also, if you're a good villain, that she has a weakness. Because if you were to go after Teela, she's going to maybe not act as logically as, and a little bit more emotionally. Like, again, we saw her come to the aid in this episode. So maybe puts a little bit of a chink in her armor, even if it makes it maybe a more interesting character for a lot of people. I don't know. So a 4 and a 5, not a bad way to end out. We didn't get anywhere below a 3.5 today, so that's good. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll get you out of here.
It's bad enough having to deal with that wretch He-Man. Yet when it's all said and done, he is just one. But those cursed masters, they're like burrow rats, always popping up.
Then why not find a way to exterminate them?
Yeah! How?
By turning them against each other when they discover a traitor in the ranks. Someone whom they'd never suspect. Someone unquestionably loyal. Someone like Ram Man.
Ah, I know. By convincing them there is a traitor in the ranks, the Master's defenses will be weakened, and Castle Grayskull will be mine!
Oh, Skeletor, however do you come up with your ideas?
It's a gift, dear Evelyn. Now enact my plan!
It's Showtime Synergy. The latest review podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network is here.
So join TFG One Mike, Nicole Hailstorm, and myself, Lady Wreck, as we will be reviewing all 65 episodes of Joe and the Holograms in a 25-episode-long podcast. You can find Showtime Synergy on iTunes and GeekCastRadio.com. We are the truly outrageous podcast that you want to be listening to.
I know what we're doing today.
Okay, Michael, if we're going to tackle this podcast thing, we've got to do something really special. It has to be cool, daily, in audio form, and undetectable by radar. Something that screams summer. I know, let's do a Phineas and Ferb review podcast. We'll call it the Podcast Organization Without a Cool Acronym, or PALCA for short. What do you think?
I think if we're not careful, Candace is going to bust us.
You can find PALCA on the GeekCast Radio Network, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, and all of the other methods you find podcasts.
Okay, then. Carry on.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week, we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film. Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
The battle with the Masters did not work out as planned, but it was no defeat either. Man-at-Arms' precious daughter is out of commission. Thus weakened, they shan't be prepared for another attack so soon. More Masters will fall. Grayskull and its secrets will finally be... Evil-Lyn, do I bore you?
Bore me? Impossible.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Thank you for listening to us here as we are the Masters of Grayskull. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where Steve has worked his ass off on getting that online and everything else. Be sure to comment on this and all of our other podcast posts, written posts, all that good stuff. Leave yourselves feedback in iTunes. Please do this. I got to check that for next episode. Follow us on Twitter at GeekCast Radio is the network Twitter. The show is at Pow of Grayskull. I am at TFG1Mike, and you are?
At Optimus Solo.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to Facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. We hope you enjoyed the Grayskull goodness today, and don't forget to join us in our next adventure when we will take a look at the next three episodes of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, which are Dragon's Brood, Turnabout, and Mechanex Lament. I'm not even supposed to be here today. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Optimus Solo.
By the power and for the honor of Grayskull, we have the power.
Not even supposed to be here today.